Welcome in. It's the Arrowhead Addict Podcast. Patrick Allen and Matt Verderam here to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. It is Thanksgiving Day. I'll go ahead and just be upfront with you. It is not for us. We're recording this on Monday, so if we say some things that change a little bit, you understand why. But happy Thanksgiving. We're going to release this on Thanksgiving. We're going to do a premiere on YouTube. We're sorry that we couldn't be there with you live like we always are. We thought about doing a Wednesday show and we thought, the hell with it. You know, like, let's lay something down and let's leave the content on its regularly scheduled day. I know a lot of you are going to be with family and stuff today, but you know, I understand how that can be, and I'm sure that maybe some of you would like to sneak away for a little bit, watch a little Chiefs talk once your crazy uncle starts talking politics. How are you doing, Verderam?
I'm good. I am looking forward to Thanksgiving, so I hope everybody out there has a great holiday. Certainly, there are times where you do try to sneak away from family, although I'll be with my wife's family, which means you know. Very Midwestern values. It's going to be very nice and cordial, and everybody's going to be happy, and everybody's going to say nice things to each other. It's a little different than the holidays I grew up with, which a little bit louder, but it'll be good. It'll be good. Are you doing anything special for it?
Yeah, man, we're driving to Ohio to see my family from Chicago. We're going to leave on Wednesday. You know, I have not been home for Thanksgiving since I was in college, so I'm 39. Wow. And the reason for that is, as you know, we lived in New York City for over a decade, and you know, I would go home for Christmas, and it was just, you know what it's like, how expensive it is in New York, and it just didn't make sense to spend the money to go home, fly home on Thanksgiving, and then turn around and do it again on Christmas. So usually just deferred to Christmas and went home for a week. So I just haven't been back. And then we moved to Chicago, and Mag's family's here, so we do Thanksgiving here and go to. So I'm really excited. I haven't had my mom's famous stuffing and all that great stuff that I grew up eating in a long time. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, I'll tell you what, that sounds great, by the way. And I hope you guys have a great holiday. I do on Twitter, I have a super followers thing. And so I do like a weekly chat with those guys and gals. And one of them the other day asked me my most underrated and overrated food dish for Thanksgiving. And he was like, my most underrated is homemade mac and cheese. And people talk about this all the time. In my family, we've never once had mac and cheese for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, no.
And I decided, like, I'm making it for Thanksgiving this year. I don't care. If nobody else is going to step up to the plate, then I'm going to. Because I'm sick and tired of being, like, looking for side dishes. And it's like, oh, there's stuffings with cranberry in it. I'm like, I don't want stuffing with cranberry in it. Yeah. So I know we're going to get to that more at the end of the show, our food takes on Thanksgiving, but I'm just tossing that out there that I'm going to try to make it into a spectacle of just a vat of mac and cheese.
I love it. You know, I didn't know people did mac and cheese either on Thanksgiving because we never did.
No.
And boy, what a no brainer. And I, maybe when I get home, I'm going to have words with my parents about, you know, I feel like they were holding out on me. There's a little bit of child abuse going on there.
That's right. The story, when you get to the house, just throw your suitcase right through the window. This is for having mac and cheese when I was 8.
Yeah. You know? I'll fill the suitcase up with boxes of Kraft mac and cheese.
And wail it in there. Yeah. Not, well, we used to have a coworker, Shay, who she said, like, her family, they'd get Chinese food.
Yeah.
All these different things. And I was like, man, my family always had some dry ass turkey. Right. It's always what we had. It was like, just pour more gravy on it.
Yeah, you got to get that. You got to get that dark meat. The white meat dries out quick if it's not. You know, you got to. Yeah. Listen, everybody. We hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. You know, you and I talk about this, I think, every year. When I think about Thanksgiving, I think about going over to my grandparents' house, sitting in the living room while they're cooking, watching John Madden and Pat Summerall, NFL football. Like, I can't. Football has to be on wherever I am for Thanksgiving. And it's not the same without John and Pat, but boy, that's what I grew up watching. I miss it.
I'm with you. I there's never been Thanksgiving I haven't sat down and watched football. So you know, it's funny, like in the 90s, it felt so great because you had Barry Sanders and you had the Cowboys, right? Like you always had those two teams with those guys. And then the Lions are like, watch this, Joey Harrington. And it's just, it has not been the same since. Although, you know, at least the Lions now they're on a 3-game win streak. It'll be kind of fun to sit down. The Cowboys and the Giants, okay. Then you have the Thursday night game, the Thanksgiving night game, which the Chiefs actually were the inaugural version of that when they played the Broncos like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I will say I'm always glad that when the Chiefs don't play on Thanksgiving. Like, and there's obviously only a handful of years you really have the opportunity to anyway, but I just want to enjoy my holiday. Like, yeah. I looked at the schedule this year. I'm a big schedule nerd. Which I know you know this, but I look ahead and I'm always like, all right, like, when does Christmas fall? And I looked and I knew Christmas was on a Sunday. So I'm like, all right, that means the games will be on a Saturday. But that also means they're going to roll out like a double or a triple header.
Yeah.
I was so relieved when the Chiefs didn't play on Christmas.
Yep.
Like, I just want to enjoy Christmas. I don't want to have to sit there. Like, they played, like, what was it? 2016, they played Denver. Now they beat the piss out of them. So it actually turned out to be a great game. But, like, man, I don't want to do this on Christmas. Just let me relax and be. And I, you know, so I like watching other teams. I don't want to watch my team.
As we start to talk Chiefs here, I got to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by the Kansas City Beer Company, KC Beer Co., largest locally owned brewery in Kansas City, and the only brewery to focus on German beer styles in Kansas City. We were throwing them back last night. Again, we're recording this on Monday, so we were up late, euphoric after the Chiefs Chargers game, and I drank two during the show, just went to town, had another one after, and now I'm out. So thank goodness we're coming to Kansas City pretty soon. They're an award-winning brewery. They've got a terrific lineup of brews. So whatever type of beer you're into, KC Beer Co. has a style for you. Look for the red KC Beer Co. cartons in your local store and support the Arrowhead Addict podcast by supporting KC Beer Co. They've truly been just blown away my expectations for a partner for this podcast over the past year. Absolutely fantastic. We've got more exciting stuff coming with them. Do us a favor and give them a shout out at KC Beer Co. on Twitter. Wish him a happy Thanksgiving. Say the Arrowhead Addict guys told me to wish you a happy Thanksgiving and dare to beer different. Please drink responsibly, 21 and over. Okay, so are you still in the afterglow a little bit? Just kind of before we move on from that Chargers game. I can't stop thinking about it. I mean, it was such a huge, huge win for the Chiefs and an MVP moment for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm writing our quarterback rankings. That'll be up on Wednesday, so hopefully everybody checks those out. And I was trying to figure out, I can always try to figure out what I'm going to lead with the title and the summary at the top. And I always try to make it different every week. You know, I don't want to sit there and just write about the same two guys or three guys. My only thing was, like, Mahomes had his MVP moment. Like, that felt like the game where unless he falls off a cliff, like, yeah, he's the MVP of the league, right? Like, I no disrespect to Tua and Jalen Hurts. Like, if they have the ball in that spot, I'm not saying you don't believe they're going to go down, but, like, you're not like, oh, he's going down and putting it in the end zone, right? Like, Mahomes, there was no doubt, at least in my mind, like, there was zero doubt they were scoring. It was like, he's going to take the ball. It's funny. They got down 27-23, and yet as like much of a nervous wreck as I am during every one of these games, I felt an amazing peace because I felt like they've got plenty of time. They have plenty of time. And if he's got plenty of time, he's scoring. And we talked about it on the show on Sunday night where they showed Herbert on the sideline just staring out onto the field. And it was like this look of complete resignation. It's like, he's going to score. Yeah. And there's nothing I can do about it. And it's just, look, I think it's a great win. It's a big win. Do you know they've beaten the Chargers on the road 9 years in a row now?
That's unbelievable.
Like, that spans back to San Diego and then to their soccer stadium and out of their current stadium.
Right.
And I saw that from Daniel Popper over at The Athletic, who does a great job covering the Chargers. So shout out to him. But nine games in a row, they've beaten the Chargers on the road. They've beaten them nine times in a row. They haven't lost to Denver since the Obama administration. They've, you know, the Raiders, they beat up on game in and game out. It's, I think my biggest takeaway from that game after having time to think about it is just how dominant they are in that division. Like, and I get people could say, well, you know, the Broncos and Raiders have flopped. And it's like, okay, but this was supposed to be, I won't say a rebuilding year, but this was supposed to be kind of a reloading year, recalibration.
Yep.
This division is done. Like, we're recording this on November 21st. This division's done. It's over with. Now the focus, as we're going to talk about here in a minute, now it goes from the division to getting the top seed. That the division's done. That's accomplished. Now it's, can you get that number one seed in the AFC?
One of the common threads of small businesses is that so few are responsible for so many things. That's what makes it vital to have the right people in the right places. This is where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, and that's why we want to tell you about them. When you're hiring for your small business, you need to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs is so vital. They have the tools to help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, LinkedIn isn't just another job board. They have a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else, and they do all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Look, hiring is easy when you have that many qualified candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. 2.5 million small businesses are already using LinkedIn for hiring. You should too. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/arrowhead. That's linkedin.com/arrowhead to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
And last thing on last night, or when you're listening to this on Sunday night, was my thought is that I'm really impressed with this defense in the way that they have not been perfect, obviously, but have closed out games in recent weeks with their pass rush. When they needed to dig deep, they did it against Jacksonville. They did it in some other games. When they needed to dig deep and get pressure and get a big sack and make play, they've been able to do it. And I think there's been previous times during the Mahomes era where I've been sitting there and I've been like, my God, I hope that they have the ball last. Please let them get the ball last. Because if the other team has the ball last, you don't want to be in that situation with Patrick Mahomes on the sideline where you're like, God, I hope, you know, they're gonna win and he's never gonna touch the ball again. And right now I don't feel that way. I feel like, you know, I don't feel super confident, you know, but they've done it. They've got, you know, much like they did against San Francisco in the Super Bowl.
Well, I'll say one thing for them. They've been much better in the second half of these games. I feel like the first half is just, you never know what the hell they're doing. Then the second half, they really do. They adjust, they figure it out. They're never going to be, with this offense, a great defensive team. I actually thought, if people didn't see it, they can check it out on YouTube. It's where I saw it. Chris Jones talked to Rodney Harrison and Jake Collinsworth after the game on Sunday. It was a good 6 minutes. And he talked about, he's like, you can't judge the defense by its numbers because this offense scores so many points that teams just go into this hurry up, score at all costs, like don't worry about field position type of game. He's like, teams are going to have numbers against us. They're just going to. He's like, but we don't, like, that's not how you can judge this defense. And I totally agree with Chris Jones. Like, I think sometimes that gets overrated, like the numbers. You know, people are like, well, look at yards per play. And it's like, all right, yeah, but think about it this way. Now, this wasn't the case on Sunday night, but it's been the case many times this year. Chiefs are up by a big margin in the fourth quarter, like an insurmountable margin. And a team then has, in the fourth quarter, 20 plays. And they rack up, you know, 180 yards in the fourth quarter of just pure garbage time. Let's say 160 yards. That's 8 yards per play. Like, that would be the worst mark in the NFL. But if you're the Chiefs, who the hell cares? Like, you don't, like, what does it matter? You're up 30 points. Like, you don't, you're trading the time for the yardage. You're conceding the yardage. Whereas if you're a crappy team, and I'll use Denver as an example first, because I think this is absolutely the truth of Denver. Denver's defense is okay. Denver's defense looks as great as it does because nobody ever has to score against Denver. Like, you're playing to score 20 points. So you're going to be more conservative. You're going to play a field position game. You're going to play a game that if you're beating them, you're just going to run it in the line three times and punt. Well, yeah, your yards per play is going to look really good when the other team's just running a fullback dive three times and punting, right? Like, so I think numbers do lie sometimes. And the Chiefs defense, I wouldn't say it's really good or anything. I think it's a mid-level defense. I think they're a decent NFL defense married to a great offense. And if their special teams gets to where it normally has been under Tobe, yeah, that's a recipe for winning the Super Bowl in 2022.
Yeah, they're giving up about 23 points a game. And I think the exciting thing is they have a chance to get better. A lot of young players had a lot of injuries. Hopefully they continue to hit their stride in the second half. And if they can bring that number down to 17, even 20,
right.
You're feeling pretty good with what the Chiefs have on offense. And look, when they had to, when they played the Buffalo Bills that game, they did a pretty good job of containing Buffalo. It's not like Buffalo marched out there and put up 42 points and they were firing on all cylinders. Yep. So yeah, feeling really good about the defense. Well, let's talk about that number one seed. The Chiefs are doing all right. You know, they're the number one seed right now. So that's more than you can ask for, given the fact that they lost the game to Buffalo. They're 8-2. And then they've got a slew of teams behind them. We talked about this last night about how important it was for the Chiefs not to lose this game because they would have fallen into a five-way tie for the best record in the AFC. They got Miami 7-3, the Titans at 7-3. They got the breaker over them. Baltimore at 73 and the 7-3 and the Bills at 7-3. And then you got 3-6-4 teams in the Patriots, Bengals, and Jets. I think only the Bengals of that group has an opportunity to climb into that race for the number one seed. I don't see New England or the Jets doing it. Chargers are out of it. So that's the focus, as you mentioned, for the Chiefs. And they got a game coming up this weekend that they got to worry about. Is this a trap game for the Chiefs to take it on defending Super Bowl champions who are not good, only have 3 wins this year? They're banged up like crazy. Is this a game where the Chiefs go out there and it's one of those where they come out really flat, especially coming off an emotional victory against the Chargers?
It could be a little bit because they also play the Bengals next week. And I would contend of all the games they want to win this year, that Bengals game is numero uno. Like, if there is a game that they want blood, it is that game.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of game with them. Like I brought it up earlier, that Christmas Day game against Denver, Christmas night game, when they were winning by like 20 some odd points with 2 minutes left, and they had Don Terry Poe throw a touchdown.
Yeah.
Like, they wanted to annihilate Denver. I mean, they wanted to just put them down as bad as they could. I think you will see a similar thing with Cincinnati if the Chiefs have the opportunity. The Chiefs, let's put it this way. I don't think the Chiefs are just running out the clock if they have the chance to do it against the Bengals. Like, if they can put it in the end zone, they're going to do it. So you do worry a little bit about, is this just a game where the Chiefs, it's a 425 Eastern kick. So it's not an early game, but it's not a primetime game. Like, there's part of me that says, I think the Chiefs understand where they're at this part of the year. Like, they know now, like, look, you're in the home stretch. I know there's still 7 games to play, but like, now you're to a point where you can kind of smell it a little bit. You know, your division is essentially clinched. It's time to now make that push. The Rams are awful. We'll get in more into them in a second. But I think it could be a little bit of a trap game if they're not careful. I also think the Rams are so bad that if the Chiefs wake up at any point in time during the game, they'll probably be all right.
Yeah, and you know, looking at their schedule the rest of the way, they've got some easy teams, right? Some bad teams that they're going to play.
Right.
But it's not the most favorable schedule. After this, so they're at home against Los Angeles. Then they have 3 straight road games at Cincy, at Denver, at Houston. And then they come home for their last 2 home games of the season against Seattle and Denver. And then they go on the road and finish things off in Vegas.
Right.
All 3 of these games, these remaining home games, and I don't mean to underestimate the Chiefs kingdom and the crowd at Arrowhead, but I would reckon these are going to be the lowest energy home games in terms of the crowd of the entire year. Because you got this Sunday, it's Thanksgiving weekend, right? You know, it could be maybe not as attended. It's a bad team. People got family in town. They're you know, stuffed from Turkey. And then the next home game that they have is on Christmas Eve.
Right.
Against the Seahawks, who are a good ball club. And then next game that they have, the last game that they have at home, is on New Year's Day against the Broncos. Now, look, should the Chiefs take advantage of all of those games and win? Of course. But that's not working in their favor, and you got a 3-game road trip smashed in the middle of there. This is a game the Chiefs need to come out and just take care of business with regards to that number one seed. Do you feel like, looking at the rest of that schedule, that they can do it? Because I think, look, I mean, if you want to feel comfortable about them getting that number one seed, they need to run the table. Can they? Are they going to run the table?
I think they beat the Bengals. They'll beat everybody else. I hear you. Like, your points are well taken, but I also think, knowing Chiefs fans, like, they'll pack those games. Now, I agree with you in the sense that, is it one of those things where you're getting a team that you feel like it's just going to smoke, so it's like, eh, whatever, and, you know, maybe. But I will say this, though. I don't think that's going to be the case with Denver. Chiefs fans, after years and years and years of Denver, I think there will always be a certain energy for the Broncos. But no, I think for the Chiefs, like, I don't think you'd rather have it any other way. I mean, you mentioned that 3-game road trip, which is, you know, any 3-game road trip merits attention. One of those games is at Denver, which we'll be in Kansas City for. Okay, another one of those games is Houston. I mean, the Chiefs could put their backups in there and beat that team if they wanted to. So the only rough game of it is the first game, which is the Bengals game. That, yeah, to me, is the game. I know they could fall and trip and lose another game. I get it. I mean, hell, they almost lost to the Raiders at home, and they did lose to the Colts. No game is guaranteed, and I will guarantee you, there will be one or two games this year against those teams that they're white knuckling it all the way to the end, because they screw around for a half of football, and that's going to happen. But I do believe one thing about them. I mean, what is it now? 28, 29 in a row in November and December?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's insane. Yeah. They just do not lose games this time of year. So, I think there's a causation correlation there with them, where I do think this is the time of year they kind of start to hone in a little bit. And it's like, all right, you know, especially come out of the bye. You know, that's another thing with them, out of the bye with Reed historically. People always focus on the one game right out of the bye. After the bye, they're ridiculous. Like, they self scout. I don't think it's a coincidence that when they came out of the bye, Isaiah Pacheco became starting running back. Like, I don't think that's a coincidence that happened. I don't think it's a coincidence that all of a sudden defensively they're getting 5 sacks a game. Like, they self-scout really well. So I think the Chiefs can lose one more game and be the one seed. I think that's because I don't think the Bills or the Ravens are on the table either. I think they can win one or lose one more game. But if, obviously, like you said, if you want to have guarantees, then you got to run it. You got to run it all.
One of the things that works in their favor when you look at this schedule is, yeah, Denver, right? Like, they, you know, they're pretty much packing it in. Not quite yet, but their record is so terrible. Vegas, by the time they get to week 18, it's over.
Oh, my God. I mean, they might actually walk out on the field with their golf clubs over their shoulder.
Right.
I mean, you want to talk about it. That is... Actually, real quick, that is one thing I will say about this schedule. The last two games of the year, home to Denver and at Vegas, if the Chiefs get to that and all they got to do is win those two games to go to the one seed, they will do it. Because you couldn't find two teams that will be more cooked that time of year. I mean, Denver is going to be dying to get the hell out of town after the way that season's gone.
Right.
And if you think the Raiders are going to rise up and play for Josh McDaniels in week 18, I got another thing for you. Like, there is no scenario that and the Chiefs won't take it lightly because they're divisional games, you would think. So that is one thing I think that bodes really well for them. Those two games, I mean, you might not be able to find two teams that'll lay down more than those two at the end of the season.
And I know these guys are professionals, but you got to think, Denver, man, they're going to be in Kansas City on New Year's Eve with nothing to play for. You don't think some of those players might I know they'll have a curfew, but it's just got to be so distracting. Whereas the Chiefs, if the Chiefs are playing for the one seed, then, you know, they're going to be on lockdown. No going out, no doing anything crazy. It's a really interesting final stretch here for the Chiefs. But if they can get it done, that Vegas game may not matter. If they win out, it might be locked up for them. Like, if Buffalo is more than a game behind,
right?
That's who you got to worry about, right? Although,
Baltimore, too.
Yeah, Baltimore. Because
the Chiefs probably lose a tiebreaker to them with the conference record. So they're probably going to have to beat them out, right? And the Ravens have the easiest schedule left in football. Yeah. So, but it's funny. Like, you know, you mentioned, like, you know, New Year's Eve. And I also, this time of year, you know, it starts happening with these teams that are totally out of it. These guys are like, yeah, he's got a hamstring pull. Right. He's out for the year.
Guys go to IR.
Yeah, it's like, what the hell? You're not gonna, you're not gonna risk some guy in a week 17 game that's banged up. Like, you know, why? I mean, you're not gonna do that. And I'm not saying anybody's like being soft or anything, but it's just practicality. Like, you're not, you know, if you're Denver and one of your five best players is beat up, you're gonna trot him out there in that game,
right? What?
Because you're 4-10 or 4-11. Like, I don't. There's no benefit to you to do that. You know, especially if you're a team that has your draft pick. Like, I'll tell you right now, Houston, you want to find a team that wants to lose. I mean, the players don't want to, but the executives or anything else get the number one pick. Oh, my God. I mean, they might be holding hands, running into the end zone with the Chiefs. Make sure that you get down by enough they can't come back. That game, you know, you're going to find games like that as the year winds down where guys are just, like, look, man, I'm beat up. I'm not playing this game. We're, you know, 1-10-1. Like, I'm not going out there and getting my ass kicked. There's no point.
Right. Yeah. All right. Let's do a little Thanksgiving thing here. Let's see what the Chiefs are thankful for. Number one here, you have Mahomes, Jones, Kelsey, Veach, and Reed. Are they up for major awards? Obviously, Mahomes for the MVP.
Right.
There's starting to become noise and buzz around Chris Jones for Defensive Player of the Year.
Yep.
Does Kelsey have a case for Offensive Player of the Year? I saw somebody throw out on Twitter, should he be in the MVP conversation?
He won't be in that. But, you know, I do think, like, the Offensive Player of the Year thing is not insane. He has 855 yards receiving. He's sixth in the NFL in yardage. And for tight ends, like, it's hysterical, the difference. I mean, the next tight end comes in 28th in the league at 551. That's Mark Andrews. I mean, he's 300 yards ahead of Mark Andrews. It's not even the same league. Yeah. And he's leading the NFL with 11 touchdowns. I actually think his former teammate Tyreek Hill is probably the one who's in the driver's seat for this right now.
Yeah.
But if Kelsey finishes the year with like 17, 18 touchdowns and he sets a new record for tight end receiving yardage, which he already holds, it's at least like he's a candidate. Yeah. Then you get to Chris Jones. Chris Jones is getting to a point, man, where like you really got to talk about it. I mean, he is tied for fifth in sacks. Judon has 13. He's been great. Parsons is 10. Zadarius Smith in Minnesota and Nick Bosa have 9.5. Chris Jones, Max Crosby, Alex Highsmith, and Justin Houston have 9 sacks. Now, all those guys are edge guys, except obviously for Jones. You wonder if he gets to like 15, 16 sacks and they win 14, 15 games. Like, he's got a pretty damn good case. Yeah. Like, if I had to do a ballot right now, it's probably Parsons and Jones, like 1 and 2. I think it's a real case to make.
Now, we've also got Brett Veach on here.
Yes.
For obviously Executive of the Year. I mean, obviously, more competition for Miami, right? Miami makes the trade for you got this guy Tua Tagovailoa, who was a talented quarterback in college. He's not been good in the NFL. He's just not been good until this year. They go out, you know, they already got him Jalen Waddle. They go out and get him Tyreek Hill, and he's been fantastic. Credit to him. He's taken advantage of the weapons that he's had. He's obviously taken a step forward. I hate these, and some Chiefs fans have a tendency to do this and be like, oh, well, you know, it's because he got Tyreek Hill, as if like he doesn't have to actually get Tyreek Hill the ball.
Right. I mean, no kidding.
Like, yeah,
Mahomes had Tyreek Hill for 6 years or whatever it was, 5 years.
But do you think that – is there anybody else you can think of? Obviously, what is his name, Roseman out in Philadelphia?
I think Howie Roseman is probably the winner of the award right now. I mean, he's done an amazing job. I wrote about their offseason before the year started and talked to some people inside that team and – I mean, what they did was just a masterclass. The funny thing was, in talking to a lot of those guys, the thought was like, we'll be competitive again this year, but next year is the year when the Super Bowl window opens. And now they're 9-1. Like, it's funny how life works. I think Veach, though, I think he's top three. Like, I really do. You went out and traded Tyreek Hill. you hit on a million of these picks. And you brought in guys like Juju who have worked, and Valdez Scantling, who said if you want, like, look, he's been a quality piece. Like, certainly hasn't been a bad value for what they paid for him. You know, you go out and you do all this stuff with all these rookies, and like, it's worked. I mean, they're the number one seed in the AFC. Do I think he wins it? Probably not. Also, look, he and Reed are also hurt by the same thing, too. Everybody expects them to be great all the time.
Right. Yep.
You know? But I think he's got a shot. I do think he's in the top three. And Reed, I don't think Andy wins coach of the year because there's going to be guys like a Brian Daboll, you know, a Nick Sirianni, teams that are outperforming what their expectations were. If the Chiefs go 15-2, like if the Chiefs run the table, you at least got to put him in the conversation, right? I mean, it's been really impressive. People forget there were people picking them to finish last in the AFC West. Last.
That's right.
There were people picking them to miss the playoffs. I mean, this was not a year where people are like, they're definitely going to go to the Super Bowl. Now, Vegas books, stuff like that, they were still among the top three teams, four teams in the league. But there was a lot of talk before the year that this team was going to fall flat on its face.
Yep.
It has not. So, yeah, I think all those guys deserve merit. But I will say, and I think you would agree, Mahomes' MVP case is easily the strongest of the five. And then I think the next guy is Jones. Jones is right there for Defense Player of the Year.
Yeah, I agree with you. You get to become a victim of your own success. And with these awards, it's always, always, always the flashy choice. And the flashy choice is always, who wasn't good this year that's good this year? There's your coach of the year, right? Like, they do it every time. Anybody who exceeds expectations. For Andy to get coach of the year, they'd probably need some of these other teams to stumble. I don't think the Giants are that good. I think it's a great coaching job by Brian Daboll, but like, yes. They're going to start losing, I think, here as they get exposed a little bit. Same thing with the Jets. I think the Chiefs would have to go on a run, a heck of a run, and maybe win out for Andy to get a good crack at it. Because again, as you mentioned, it's just the way it is with these awards. Same thing for Veach. The Chiefs are good. Of course they're good. You're going to give it to the team that kind of came out of nowhere. That's just the way it works. All right. Something else for the Chiefs to be thankful for. Of those guys that we just mentioned, Mahomes, Jones, Kelce, Veach, and Reed, how many of them are Hall of Famers or possible future Hall of Famers?
Kelce could quit tonight. He'd be in the Hall of Fame.
Agreed.
Could Mahomes... God, I hope he doesn't. But like, could he retire at the end of the year and be in the Hall of Fame now?
I think he may not be first ballot, but you'd be able to make an argument for him.
I mean, I think those two guys, like Kelce's in, and Mahomes is going to get in. I mean, you know, God forbid, barring something catastrophic, he's getting in.
I mean, if Mahomes wins the MVP and wins the Super Bowl this year.
Right.
I think he's the first ballot Hall of Fame. Like, he could retire, and what he's done in his career, you know, even though he wouldn't maybe have some of the volume of stats of some of right. these other guys, I think you get into that room and you're like, look what he did in the time that he played.
Yeah, and on top of that, he might set the all-time single season passing record. Like, it's just, it's insane.
Yeah.
I think Chris Jones is going to be an interesting case. Because right now, for his career, he has 58 and a half sacks, which is awesome. He's 28 years old, and he's an interior lineman. Like, there's a real shot Chris Jones gets to 100 sacks in his career. That's nuts for an interior lineman. Like, to give context to that, you have to really look at the you know, rest of the competition over the years. And when you start looking at, now I'm only going off the official list because there are guys before 1982 and there's a lot of different stuff because 1982 is when they started becoming official. Only 41 players in NFL history have ever gotten 100 sacks. 41. Again, officially. If you want to go unofficially, then you start getting into like there's 60 guys. Okay. 41 officially. And of those guys, I mean, you could count on one hand how many guys were defensive tackles, right? I mean, Aaron Donald, who's got 103 right now, he's one of them. Then you've got to keep going and going and going and going and going. And I mean going all the way up the list. until you get to John Randle, who has 137.5, which is just impossible for a D tackle. That's the entire list. That is the entire list of D tackles that have ever gotten 100 sacks. Obviously, Donald's going to walk into Canton. Randle walked into Canton. The thing that hurts Chris Jones is he's never been a first-team All-Pro, ever. He is a three-time Pro Bowler. He obviously has he's going to be a Pro Bowler this year, so it'll be four-time, 4 years in a row. He has made some second-team All-Pros. I think he will get into Canton. I do. It'll help him that they've won a Super Bowl. He was a huge part of it. And then Andy's walking in. So I think those four guys are getting in. Now, Brett, I mean, look, that GMs, it's a harder thing. He's going to have to be really great for a long time.
Yeah.
But he could. I mean, if they win 3-4 Super Bowls with him as a general manager, yeah, probably go to Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, the litmus test for his career, and he's so young that, he could be around for a long time, but he can accomplish it during the Mahomes era, right? If he continues to, it's not just about being involved in bringing Patrick Mahomes to Kansas City, but being able to continue. And we've seen how difficult this is for other GMs and other personnel departments around the league. If they can continue to surround Patrick Mahomes with enough help, it's an easy Hall of Fame case. If they win 3 Super Bowls,
right,
they're going to win a billion games as long as he stays healthy. So I think if they win 3 Super Bowls over the course of Pat's career, I think Brett Veach is probably going to get in the Hall of Fame.
Is there anybody else on the team that you're like, that guy has Hall of Fame potential? Obviously, Tyreek Hill, he'll get in, I would think, one day.
Yeah.
I don't know that anybody else. I mean, maybe you want to say in terms of potential, like one of the offensive linemen.
Creed Humphrey.
Yeah. I mean, he'd probably be the guy. I'll tell you what, he's not going to make the Hall of Fame, and he shouldn't. But Carlos Dunlap's had a damn good career. 100 sacks, like I just said. I mean, again, he's obviously a guy who did not do most in Kansas City. But I think those are the guys. But those guys, they're probably – I mean, look, Kelce, Mahomes, and Reed, they're going to the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And if Jones hits 100 sacks, which he could, I think Jones is going to the Hall of Fame. I do. I think he gets in, and Veach, obviously, you got to wait and see. But a lot to be thankful for if you're a Chiefs fan with those guys. I mean, a lot, because they have ushered in a whole new dominant era of Chiefs football.
Well, speaking of guys that aren't going to make the Hall of Fame, but the Chiefs should be thankful for, what about the new additions? Which additions, whether they be rookies or free agent signings, are the Chiefs most thankful for this season in your view?
I think it's got to be the corners, right? I mean, these three rookie corners have just been awesome. You watch them again last night. I mean, McDuffie, I think, got beat once. Yeah. Watson got beat once across his face on a deep crosser. And Williams got, I don't want to say beat on a deep ball to Allen. Really, I got to be honest. They put him in a brutal spot there. Like, you got to have help there. You have to have a safety.
And that was a hell of a catch and throw.
It was. I mean, he really honestly played it pretty well. It was a great play. Their young rookies are playing really well at corner. I think Karlaftis is going to be really good. I know people sit there, how could you say that? He has half a sack. Chris Jones had 2 sacks as a rookie.
Right.
I don't care. A lot of times when I watch guys like that, I want to see, do you have bend? Do you have explosiveness? Yeah, he does. He has all the traits. I think that kid is going to figure it out and put it together. Brian Cook's been very good for them when he's been asked to fill a bigger role. But I have to say, those three rookies, and now potentially here, Pacheco, they have really, really changed the course of the season, especially the corners.
Yeah, agreed. I'm going to give it to Juju Smith-Schuster. He's been totally fantastic. Exactly what you wanted when you signed him. A guy you probably want to extend. Hopefully he's on the field this week. And is recovered from his head injury. If he's not, leave him on the sidelines. But he's been a great outlet and another sort of security blanket for Patrick Mahomes, which is fantastic news because that means it's harder to focus on Travis Kelce. And if you're going to focus on Travis Kelce, now you've got Juju Smith-Schuster, and he's a chain mover for them. So hopefully he's healthy and stays that way the rest of this run. I think we could be sitting here and look, when we had Brett Veach on the show, who he so graciously came by and chatted with us, he talked about Sammy Watkins And when we asked him about Juju Smith-Schuster, and he talked about what Sammy brought to the team with his blocking and just his big body and physicality. If the Chiefs won the Super Bowl this year, or they go on a deep run, I think Juju Smith-Schuster is going to have a big say in that. And we're going to look back at some plays like we did with Sammy against Houston, the big catch in the Super Bowl, where we're like, oh man, you know, as much as people were unhappy with the entirety of his Chiefs career, they don't win that Super Bowl without Sammy Watkins. So he was important. And Brett Veach thought he was important enough that he wanted to go and find a similar type of player.
No doubt. No doubt. Sammy Watkins came up big in all those playoff games that year. And if they're going to win the Super Bowl again this year, they are going to need Juju. They're going to need him to make some plays. They're going to need MVS to have a game where he has 80 yards. That's, look, when you win the Super Bowl, there are no passengers. You need everybody, because when you get in those playoff games, you're going to come across teams who are going to say, look, so-and-so, and in this, for the Chiefs' purposes, Kelsey, he's not beating us. He is not beating us. And you're going to have to beat us somewhere else.
Yep.
Enter Juju, MVS, you know, a Mecole Hardman, Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore. I mean, you know, Pacheco. Like, those are the guys. You know, I remember that Super Bowl run when the Chiefs were able to win those three games. They ran the ball really well in the playoffs. Like, Damian Williams was a huge reason they won the Super Bowl. You know, he's not a guy who's going to the Hall of Fame. He's not going to the Ring of Honor, but he was an enormous reason why they won the Super Bowl. A guy like Mike Pinnell defensively.
Yep.
Who you'd be like, who the hell is Mike? Mike Pinnell was a huge part of them shutting down Derrick Henry. Like, you need guys like that. You know, they may not be the Mahomeses of the world, but you need guys of that ilk. And Juju obviously falls somewhere in between. He's not just a little role player, but you need him to have a game where he goes for six catches and 90 yards and a touchdown. He's more than capable of doing it.
There is an argument to be made that Damian Williams could have been the Super Bowl MVP. I mean,
you can make the argument. Yeah.
You certainly could have made that argument. Obviously, tough when you got Mahomes. Some of the throws that Mahomes made at the end of that game, I think, is what tipped it. Chiefs fans are not going to forget about Damian Williams.
No.
I'll remember him breaking that run. One, getting that ball over the pylon, that really close touchdown, and then breaking that final run to seal it for the rest of my life. That's right up there for me with Wasp.
I remember the next morning I was flying into Chicago out of Miami, and I was sitting in the airport, and I ran into Williams's agent, and we were sitting there talking, and I said, "Hey man, how you doing? Congratulations!" He's like, "I haven't slept. I went to the team party, and I just want to go home and go to bed." but they want to book him for the Tonight Show and all this other stuff. And we're trying to get him set up with these things. We're going to LA. We're going, and it was so funny. And I got on the plane and I was standing there talking to Nick Allegretti's brother, who came out to the game. And, hey man, I was at that game and I will never forget watching Damian Williams just run off into the night, because he ran to the opposite corner from where I was. And you could just kind of see those white 26 numerals just glimmering in the night as he's running off into the corner. And it was funny because it felt like a home game. It was so loud at the Super Bowl, really it was. But if you're a Chiefs fan, Damian Williams is a sacred name.
All right, let's get these guys ready for the game this weekend. We've got a long way to go as we wax poetic about Super Bowls. Chiefs versus Rams. Now, by the time you hear this, there may be some clarification on the status of Matthew Stafford. He had a concussion, missed a game, came back, left the game after getting sacked. I read about this today. They said that he didn't get another concussion, is what they said. But he left the game and didn't come back. So you got to look at this week as a big, big question mark for him. If something like that happened, where he had any kind of setback, even if it wasn't, and thankfully it wasn't another concussion, with their record, they may just want to look at things and, you know, maybe evaluate some of their backups. We'll see. But this game, I think right now, the line opened at 14.5, Chiefs 14.5 point favorites, over under 44, which I thought was interesting. You feel like that's kind of low going into this game?
I don't think the Rams would score a point, honestly. I think that's why. By the way, Jordan Rodriguez, who is maybe the best beat writer in the country for my money. She covers the Athletic for the or covers the Rams for the Athletic. She's saying, and so I've been looking down periodically. I've been trying to find stuff on Stafford. McVay's talking as we're recording this. He's saying that Matthew Stafford is still being evaluated to see whether or not the Rams will put him in the concussion protocol.
Yeah.
Also, John Wolford, their backup, is dealing with a neck injury. So there's a chance that they might have to sign a quarterback this week. And that Bryce Hopkins would be the guy. He played in the Saints game. He was 5-10, sacked a bunch of times. So, look, the Rams are in a bad way right now. There's no other way to put that.
Yeah, it's not good. Big line here. So the primer on this one is, as you put it, the Rams are a mess. 3-7. Stafford may not play. Cooper Kupp is out. He's got a high ankle sprain, had surgery, I think, right? And he probably won't see him for the rest of the year unless they go on some sort of miracle run, which doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
That's not happening.
Yeah, no reason to bring him back. They've beaten the Falcons, the Panthers, and the Cardinals. And that's it. Cardinals best of that bunch. They rank 32nd in yards per play, 4.7. Stafford's been terrible this year. I mean, he's just fallen off an absolute cliff. Only will throw the ball to Cooper Kupp, and now Cooper Kupp's gone.
Yep.
30th in the NFL in sacks, allowing 35, 22nd in yards per attempt, 6.7, 18th on third down, 24th in red zone, 27th in yards, and 28th in points per drive. It's brutal on offense. Let's talk about the Rams' offense versus the Chiefs' defense. Boy, this is a game where the Chiefs' defense could gain a lot of confidence, especially if there's a guy off the street playing quarterback.
If the Chiefs give up a bunch of yards to this team, they should give it up. I don't know what else to say. I don't care who's playing quarterback. They cannot block. They cannot run. Nobody's run for 300 yards in that team. Like, Tyler Higbee's the leading receiver. He doesn't have 450 yards. They're brutal. I mean, they are the worst. And they did all that with Kupp. Like, yeah. Those numbers are mostly with Cooper Kupp. I mean, they are absolutely horrific offensively. This is the worst team the Chiefs have played this year, and I'm including Indianapolis. This is the worst team. If the Chiefs cannot maul them defensively in this game, I don't know what to tell you guys. I mean, the Rams don't do anything well. Nothing. They don't throw the ball well. They don't run the ball well. They don't block well. Stafford is as immobile as it gets. Like, if they have to play Bryce Hopkins, it's Bryce Hopkins. Like, I really hope you can handle that. So, and if you're wondering, by the way, like, who the hell is Bryce Hopkins? That's a fair question. He has been in the league. Let me see now. I just want to make sure I'm right, because there's a Bryson Hopkins. There's many Hopkins here. So I don't want to speak out of turn. But he came in last game for Stafford when he got hurt. And it did not play well. I mean, he was... He again, 5-10. I'm trying to pull up the stats. Right. He was like 5-10. He was sacked 3 times. They really struggled with him in the game. Now, if Stafford can't go, Bryce Perkins. Forgive me. I knew this. Bryce Hopkins on the Rams, also Bryce Perkins. Bryce Perkins. Okay. So he's in his second season. He's out of Virginia. He came in and not much was going on. Like, this year he's played in 2 games. He's 6-11, sacked 3 times, no touchdowns, no picks. He's averaging 5.5 yards an attempt. Okay. They are unbelievably limited. And with Perkins, like, he's got a little bit more mobility than Stafford does, which is a low bar, but Bryce Perkins is not going to go in there and light you up. And so I think no matter who the quarterback is, the Chiefs defense should really feast in this game.
And in the running game as well for the Rams, Cam Akers has not been the same since came back. Darrell Henderson, who I think is a decent back, Sean McVay just seems to hate him. He gets carries 1 week, gave him like nothing last week. They've got a young guy whose name is escaping me right now, starting to get some work. But I mean, yeah, this is a team that is about getting ready to pack it in. And I mean, is this the mother of all Super Bowl hangovers?
Yeah. So, and by the way, I think you're probably thinking of Kerryon Williams.
Yes.
Who this year has rushed for a robust total of 45 yards.
He was injured, I think, but yeah.
He's played in three games. He has eight carries all year long.
Yeah.
And Cam Akers is rushing for 3.1 yards an attempt, and Darrell Henderson Jr. is rushing for 4.0 yards per attempt, and he's got 283 rushing yards. They are the definition of rancid offensively. I mean, they really...
No weapons.
No, without Cup. I mean, there's nobody. There's nobody on this team at this point that you're like, yeah, that guy really threatens you. So this would be a game where you would think Kansas City's defense could really tee off here and get going pretty well. I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of long down and distances, a lot of tight coverage. Allen Robinson's been a disaster. They brought him in 3 years, $45 million. A lot of people thought he'd be a great signing. He has been awful. 33 catches for 339 yards and three touchdowns. That is it. They do not have anybody else. And they do not throw to the backs. So it's a team that is so limited. And you mentioned Super Bowl hangovers. I wrote about this. I went back and did the research because I was thinking about that during the Saints game. I'm like, my God, has there ever been a team that's been worse? So in the NFL's history, in the Super Bowl era, only seven teams have ever won the Super Bowl and had a losing record the next year. Two of those teams, it happened in strike years. So you kind of put that to the side a little bit. Weird years, stuff like that happens. You're left for five teams now. Another two of the teams, one of them Vince Lombardi retired from, and another one John Elway retired from. So now you're down to three. And I'm doing this off the top of my head, but I believe those teams are the 81 Raiders, the 88 Washington Redskins, and the 03 Buccaneers. And all those teams went 7-9. So the only team to ever win the Super Bowl and then the next year have double-digit losses, the 1999 Denver Broncos, and that's because Elway retired and Terrell Davis blew his knee out and they went 6-10. The Rams are going to be the worst defending champion ever. The worst. Not even close. So, yeah, this is the title defense from hell.
Yeah, it's a bummer because I think the Chiefs would have beat the Rams if they made it to the Super Bowl last year, but don't want to go too far down that road. So on defense, they're 21st in yards per play, the Rams, 5.3. 16th in yards per attempt, 7.1. 4th in yards per carry, 3.9. 30th in pressure rate, 13.3. 21st in sacks, 18th in third down, 4th in the red zone. So they do some things well defensively, particularly defend the run. But is this going to be a game where Mahomes just goes off? Especially if they get Juju Smith-Schuster back.
So Bill Barnwell, who does a great job for ESPN, tweeted this out last night that the Rams, or on Sunday night, the Rams are the worst team by DVOA in man coverage in the NFL. So if they got to sit in zone coverage against the Chiefs, good luck to you. Have fun. That's a crazy stat when you have Jalen Ramsey on your team. It just goes to show how bad they are everywhere else. And Jalen Ramsey, by the way, has not played to his standard this year. If you watch them, he has not been awful by any stretch, but he has not been Jalen Ramsey. Andy Dalton was 21-25 for three touchdowns against them. I mean, yeah, I think this is a game where if there's ever a game where the Chiefs win by like 30 points, this might be the game. Like this might be one of those like stats galore games where, you know, Mahomes throws for 400 yards and five touchdowns and Kelsey has two more touchdowns. And Juju has a couple of them if he's healthy. And you never want to look at a game and think like, oh, it's just going to be a walkover because we all felt that way about the Colts game. And look what happened. But, man, this team's worse than the Colts. This team is brutal. Like, the Colts at least had some guys defensively. You're like, all right, you know, defensively, you worry about Jonathan Taylor running the ball on offense. Pittman, I mean, this team's hideous. Like, also, this is the first time all year the Rams have to play in cold weather. Like, I do think that matters to some extent. Like, you want to talk about wanting to get the hell out of town? Like, this game is the epitome of that. Because the weather in KC, I believe, is supposed to be pretty cold on Sunday. It is going to be a high of 42. So, for Los Angeles, it's pretty damn cold. I think the Chiefs are in good shape here.
All right, we're gonna give you our predictions for the game at the end of the show here. But first, we got to get to some listener reviews. By the way, see our Head Addict podcast. If you like what you're hearing, make sure you leave us a review over at Apple Podcasts. 5-star review. It's super helpful. It helps new people find the show. And if you leave a written review and you say something nice, or you ask us a question, we'll read it on the show, like we're about to do right now. First one comes from Florida Cheese fan. Chewy Chips Ahoy with Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. That's all right. That's a review headline that's going to get my attention. Yeah. This is by far the best cheese podcast out there. I love the unfiltered takes from each of the hosts. Verderants are the best part of the show. I also enjoy the food takes. And my question for you all is, what are your thoughts on Chewy Chips Ahoy cookies with Reese's Peanut Butter Cups in them? I discovered these recently and I can't stop eating them. Listen,
what are my thoughts? I mean, some things are worth shortening your life over.
Right.
And that's one of them.
I did not know that these existed before this review. But I love Chewy Chips Ahoy. They're incredible. We used to have some in the office. I put them in the cookie jar. And they've got ones with Reese's in them. I mean, I don't know what more you can ask. Give me a scoop of vanilla ice cream to throw on there and we'll call it a day.
That's right. That's a good call right there. I know I have a problem because, well, I can't wait to go to Kansas City, and I encourage anybody listening to this, if you want to go out and you want to meet us, we're going to be at the Tanner's Bar and Grill at Rainbow Boulevard in Kansas City, just on the other side of the state line in Kansas. You can RSVP. If you go to our YouTube channel, there's a link in the description. I've tweeted out. Patrick's tweeted out. You can find it. We'll continue to push it. But I immediately looked up what dessert menus they had. Like, I needed to know what was on the dessert menu. They had brownie a la mode. I'm like, all right, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to see everybody when I go out there, but I'm also just, I'm trying to, like, legitimately trying to figure out how many different places I can get to for barbecue. Like, if I run into anybody and they're like, hey, man, you want to go get some, like, Mexican or Italian food tonight? We're going to get into a fist fight. I am Italian. I love Italian food. I love Mexican food. All I want is barbecue when I'm out there. That's it.
Yep.
It's all I like. I can have Italian food. I can make Italian food. I want barbecue. That's all I want. Because where I live, like, there are some places that do barbecue, and, like, it's solid, but it's not Kansas City. It's not even close. Like, I need it. I'm driving out there. I'm debating whether or not I want to just get, like, one of those big, like, those, like, combo platters and just drive home with it and let the car just smell like barbecue the whole way back.
Yeah.
I might do that and get, like, 4 cases of Kansas City beer and then just call it a day.
Yeah, it's going to be and that's great that you're driving, because you'll be able to bring back as much of that KC beer as you want.
I'm
flying Southwest. I'm checking both bags, and they ain't gonna have clothes on them. Thank you for the review, Florida Cheese fan. Appreciate you. And then, of course, our PR manager, Clint McKenzie. I hate these podcasts. Why do I hate the various AA podcasts so much? Because I will neglect doing anything and everything else once a new episode drops. Come what may, I listen to them immediately. I enjoy them that much. You will too. Appreciate you, brother. All right, since we're talking food, before we get to our predictions for Chiefs-Rams, and it's Thanksgiving, I thought it would be fun for us to do a Thanksgiving food draft. So you get 5 picks, and I'm going to be really gracious for them, and I'm going to give you the number one pick in this draft. What do you got for the first overall pick in the first official Arrowhead Addict podcast Thanksgiving food draft?
Okay. My only question is, are we just ranking the food as like as much as we like it, or are we trying to build like a dinner here in this draft?
You're building like it's Thanksgiving. Is going to be the last, like, you're going to have to eat this for Thanksgiving for the rest of your life.
Okay. I'm going to go a little off the board here. I'm going to go with apple pie, man. I love a good apple pie.
So the number one pick is apple pie. So you're just going right out of the gate, making sure you get the dessert that you want.
I mean, you know me. You've been around me in person. I am not a small individual. Like, that didn't happen by me being like, hey, let me get the green beans. I'm all for the apple pie.
Okay, so I think this was a smart move by you, but I think also a huge blunder. I can't have Thanksgiving without turkey. So I'm locking it in. Turkey is in a shocking upset that it wasn't the number one overall pick.
See, this is why I thought about it. I knew what I was doing. I don't like turkey. I do not like turkey. So I'm going different here. I'm having a damn Thanksgiving ham. I don't care. Give me the damn ham. You know what?
Ham's good. I like ham.
I know it's a Christmas thing, an Easter thing. I don't give a shit. It's my number 2 pick. If you come over to my house Thanksgiving, you're getting a ham.
I love it. I love it. Good move. Good move. Ham is great. I got to go with this number two pick. I'm trying to think if you are savage enough to take two desserts.
I wouldn't be, no.
Yeah, but you don't. I'm not going to believe you. Like, I wouldn't believe the Raiders GM if he called me and, you know, said he wanted to trade for Patrick Mahomes. All right.
You should believe that. He desperately wants to do that.
I absolutely love stuffing. So I'm going to go ahead and lock it in.
Okay. That's fair. I love stuffing, but not to call out family members here, but I know that, like, in the wife's side of the family, they put cranberries in there and it drives me insane.
Hate it. No cranberries. Sage stuffing.
It's such bullshit. All right. So my third one, I'm going with the candied yams. I'm a big fan of the yams. So you got to have a starch in there. It's got to complement something to make you fall asleep. I'm going with it.
That's a tough one for me to lose because I love the candied yams. Smart move on your you kind of got a second dessert in there, which was smart.
It's a side. It's a side.
All right. I've got turkey. I've got stuffing. Got to go ahead and lock in pumpkin pie.
Well done. That's well done.
Got to do it. Got to do it. Got dessert taken care of. All right. Your fourth pick.
Fourth pick. I'm just trying to think.
You got apple pie, ham, candy, yams.
Yep. I guess I got to go with what I'm going to be making, which is going to be mac and cheese. Yeah.
I think this is a brilliant move by you. You know, because you got the ham now, you got the mac and cheese. I think those go well together. Yep. And then you basically got two desserts. So, yeah.
I'm ready to loosen the belt or maybe watch the belt explode and hurt a small child when it then goes flying off.
You're doing very well here. Notice, are yams considered a vegetable?
Who cares? They're good. It's a potato, isn't it?
Is yams, producer Richard, do you know this? Are yams a vegetable?
I'm going to break Google and ask this.
I need help. Richard says yes. They're vegetables. As you can see, this tells you everything you need to know about me and Vertaram. We don't know what vegetables or what are vegetables. We don't care. We know about pie. You asked me about pie. Richard says it's a root vegetable.
It is. I looked it up. Richard is correct. Yes.
Okay.
So now when my wife's screaming at me because I just had a third helping. Hey, right. hey. It's a vegetable. Go have more wine.
So we don't make these at Thanksgiving.
Okay.
But I'm going to draft it because it's one of my all-time favorite things that my mother makes. And if this is what I get to, what I'm going to eat on Thanksgiving, if I had my druthers, much like you with the mac and cheese, right? Like you didn't have it. I'm going to go with my mom's baked beans.
Oh, beautiful. Love baked beans.
She makes a like ketchup based sort of baked bean thing. And she puts strips of bacon on top. Oh my God. And brown sugar. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah. It's all about brown sugar.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got to go. I'm going to go with baked beans. All right. That's it. You're Mr. Irrelevant.
All right. But far from, because my Nana, when we used to go to my dad's parents for Thanksgiving, she made an incredible coleslaw. And, I'm tossing coleslaw on there. I know it's a little bit off the board. I thought about going rolls, and it's too boring. She made great coleslaw. She made the kind of coleslaw. It's not like you're eating it out of a lake. Like some people put so much damn dressing in there that you got to like fish for the coleslaw, and then you're physically ill because you've basically drank like a quarter gallon of ranch dressing or whatever the hell vinegar. It was just enough. But I'll go with the coleslaw.
Very interesting choice with coleslaw. Look, man, you said it. Maybe it's boring, but I got to go rolls with butter. I need rolls.
No mashed potatoes.
I know. Yeah, you're right. We didn't do mashed potatoes.
I love mashed potatoes, but I had yams.
I do too. And yeah, no mashed potatoes and gravy. I just got to go rolls with butter because I absolutely love them. I can house a whole basket of those rolls by myself at Thanksgiving. I love dipping in the gravy, which I won't be able to do because I don't have it. I probably should have. If I had swapped out the baked beans for the mashed potato, but I don't regret my decision. Yeah. So there it is. There you have it. So Vertaram, apple pie, ham, candied yams, mac and cheese, coleslaw. Alan goes turkey stuffing, pumpkin pie, baked beans, rolls.
They're much more traditional. I've loaded up on things that might actually give you arrhythmia during the afternoon.
Right. Let us know in the comments of this YouTube video, who's you like better? Maybe we can get a poll going. I don't know. Who has the best Thanksgiving draft? Okay, let's get back to football and close this thing out here. Chiefs at home taking on an abysmal Rams team. Bertram, I'll let you go first. What is your final score prediction? Do the Rams get desperate and make a game of this thing?
I think it's 34-17 Chiefs. I think one of the touchdowns for the Rams is in like garbage time. I know the Chiefs have a tendency to leave teams around sometimes. I don't see it in this game. I don't. They're terrible. And I know you even say, well, what about the Titans? Like, they had a backup quarterback. Yeah, but they have Derrick Henry. Like, they have a great coach who defensively like gets that team right every week. The Rams are just garbage, man. I mean, outside of Donald and Ramsey, that team is brutal. There's not one guy in that offense who scares you with Cup being out. And I mean, it's just, I think the Chiefs, even if they get off to a slow start, I think there's going to be a stretch in this game where they rip off like a 21-0 run over the course of like three or four drives and the game's just over.
Yeah, I think this is going to be the game where Patrick Mahomes closes the door on the MVP conversation. You can argue he's already done that, but this is a game where he's got the chance to run up the score and throw like five touchdowns. And I think they're going to do it. I think this is going to be a runaway for the Chiefs. I've got this one, Chiefs 42, Rams 13. So take the over. And I think we'll probably see a defensive score, especially if they've got a backup quarterback in there.
Right.
You know, with the way that they're rushing the passer right now. And that's the thing. Chiefs are rushing the passer really well right now. They're getting like, you know, five sacks, three sacks a game. You got a young and experienced quarterback back there against these guys, the way they're playing right now. And Spagnuolo and him liking the blitz and sending Snead and sending these other guys. Good luck. There's going to be a fumble. There's going to be a scoop and score, or a pick six, something along those lines. The Chiefs are still, I think, losing the turnover battle this year. Doesn't matter because they got number 15. I think things get even a little bit in this game. They might get multiple turnovers. Patrick Mahomes throws four touchdowns, something crazy like that. So Chiefs 42 and Rams struggle 13 points on offense. All right, Verram, we got to get out of here. People got to eat. The turkey's
all about to eat. We have to eat even though it's Monday, but I still have to eat something.
You know, it's brutal. It's brutal that we've been talking about Thanksgiving and it's only Mondays. I'm starving now and I want it to be here.
By the way, we have to wrap this way because I want this at the end of the mock draft. What is the most overrated bullshit food on Thanksgiving?
Cranberry.
Yes. It is the only decision.
Yeah.
The amount of people who get jacked up about cutting open a can and then just slapping that greasy-ass cranberry sauce down. Yeah. Like, hey, look, there's the rings on. I'm like, yeah, from the can. It's congealed to it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Why are we excited about this? It's garbage in a can.
Yeah, what do you think about the bougie Thanksgiving dinners where somebody has actual cranberries? Are you okay with that?
No, those people are even worse. Like, I'd rather you be the human garbage you want to be. And you're like, look, I bought this for $2 at Costco, and here it is. Cut along the rings, kids. It's been in there for 7 years. I'm more okay with that person than the person who's like, I slaved away over cranberry sauce for the last 5 hours. Get out.
Right,
you had all that time, and you made cranberry sauce. The hell's wrong with you? You could have made something everybody wants to eat.
Yeah, here's the thing about Thanksgiving is when you're up there and you're trying to load. There's that real estate on the plate is valuable, right? I'm throwing a ton of mashed potatoes on there, a bunch of stuffing. I got the turkey. I'm already out of room. All right, yep. I got to work the candied yams in there. Put gravy on that. Somebody's going to make like a green bean casserole or a broccoli casserole or something like that. I got to get in on that. There's cheese involved with a lot of those things. I don't have room for cranberry sauce. Get out of here. I think there's so many households in America, they buy a can of Ocean Spray and they're sitting there eating and they're halfway through Thanksgiving dinner and somebody says, oh, we forgot the cranberry sauce. And then they say, does anybody want cranberry sauce? And everybody just blankly stares at them. And they're like, oh, okay. And then that can of cranberry sauce is there next year and the year after and the year after till somebody either donates it or throws it away.
Well, you always get the one asshole at the dinner who's like, yeah, I'll take some cranberry sauce. And then it's just
gotta get
that person should should be obligated. You get into a fist fight with the biggest person there. I'm with you 100%. You know, all I want to do is grab a nice big plate of food and sit down and watch. This is the first Thanksgiving since I've been a fan, so I don't have to work. I just want to sit down and watch the games. It's all I want to do. I don't want to be bothered. Also, by the way, apple cider, the goat, bring it on. I sit down some apple cider, big plate of food. The last thing I want to do is be behind somebody who's like, I don't know how much cranberry sauce. Should I go one rings in or two rings in? Like, take the whole fucking thing. It sucks. I don't care. You waste your plate. That's fine. So I'm with you. Hey, listen, man. Safe travels to Ohio. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. We will catch back up on Sunday after the Rams and the Chiefs do battle. We'll be on right after the game. Hopefully the Chiefs don't give us something to sweat over and it's 9-2 and it's an easy 9-2. And then we start looking at the Bengals game, which let's just say there will be a few storylines for that game.
Yeah. Ja'Marr Chase will probably be coming back. And I think Andy Reid's going to be in his bag for that game. If he's been holding anything back, he's going to be unveiling it for that game. By the way, again, as Verrier mentioned, we'll be in Kansas City December 11th at Tanner's Bar and Grill on Rainbow Boulevard. I think it's a boulevard. We're going to be hosting a watch party for the Chiefs Broncos game on Sunday Night Football. Go to arrowheadaddict.com/events. It has all the details. You can RSVP. It'll get you a few extra raffle tickets. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be betting on the games, having a blast, giving away a ton of stuff. Casey Beer is going to be there. Tanner's just going to be giving stuff away. It's going to be awesome. We will see you then. But we're going to be going our separate ways here. We're going to eat some turkey and we'll see you guys on Sunday. We'll probably do a halftime show and then we'll be there for after the game of Chiefs versus Rams. Thank you so much for your support this week. We appreciate it. As always, go Chiefs.